I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I ain't got nobody just to call my special friend. You know, the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow. The first time I traveled out in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. Oh, I didn't have no payroll, not even no place to go.
Monday edition. Today's date is May 19th, 2008. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Great to have you here with me today for another rant, another important broadcast here. I do have some guests coming up probably at the end of the week, and more from Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, as well as another financial analysis, although I'm going to do a little bit of that today. I hope it adds more clarity to the ongoing story of our problems with finance. Lots of things have been going on that I think need clarification. A couple of them are internet related, others are in the financial markets. You know, this financial implosion has always, in my mind, been the root that we needed to examine, the cause belli, if you will, and it seems to me that the game they've been playing with keeping the money system propped up is beginning to really cause hyperinflation, both here in Europe and in America. They can't keep a lid on the hyperinflation. There have been so many infusions of cash above and beyond the old M3, which is the aggregate or collection of all the monies that are in the economy of each place that's been measured, and over the last 2 years have been pumping such a huge amounts of money, of electronic money and even money in circulation, with some of these harebrained schemes of thinking that giving $600 to each taxpayer in America is going to really cure these problems, which is a nonsense, and you know it is, and so do I. But really, the biggest infusions are coming at the level of these banks. What happened with these products that I've discussed with you so many times, these derivatives and swaps and default swaps and the rest of them, they are being paid off. Their debt, their obligation to be paid is being shored up by monetizing these debts. What that means is the minimum amount of money each one of these larger institutions need to appear to be solvent is being provided to them. Now, the important word here is appear. All they're doing is giving them liquidity to have an operating stand, an operating ability. They're not paying off the obligations, the notional value of these debts, because they can't. Because to do that would create an inflation similar to the Weimar Republic or to modern-day Zimbabwe under Mugabe, where they're having 1,700% inflation a year. These are the kinds of events that you would see if they tried even remotely to start burying the $600-plus trillion debt. Now, it was very clear to me in the first instance that during the 1990s and into the early part of the years 2000 till 2004, the strong dollar policy was a fraud, and they were using the price of gold to give everyone in the world a false sense of value in the dollar. At the same time, the forces that we're discussing all the time, the criminal bankers, the Zionist elite that are running everything, were using this inflated value of money to go out again and buy hard assets. That program to do that was given certain names like privatization or like internationalizing the business or expanding into new markets. But basically what they were doing was taking cheap capital, overinflated valued capital, and using it to buy assets in the world, lumber, mining, even businesses such as water, electric power, the Eons of the world, the France Telecom of the world, the Electricité de France here, which is one of Europe's, I think it is Europe's largest electric producer. And they've taken shareholdings in these institutions that once were publicly held and almost hold a full monopoly. In some of them, they just hold a simple majority, but many a full monopoly. In other instances, they privatized services that used to be done by the government, such as the water systems. In my region alone, we used to have the area handled by a municipal water group that was government sponsored. Now it's in the hands of Veolia, and you'll find Veolia in America, you'll find Veolia in Britain, and of course you'll find Veolia here in my region owning my water system. They run it. In fact, an agent from Veolia, not even a government agent, but an agent from Veolia has the right to walk right on my land without invitation and examine my septic system and my water system. And they bought that. They privatized services. They have done the same with, and the model was here in France, sadly, where they took the autoroute system here in France and began to privatize sections of it. One of them that was quite evident early on in the brand new road system they put in France was the autoroute Sud de la France, which is between Lyon and Marseille, which is probably one of the most one of the busiest highways in the world. You have to drive on that in the summertime to know just how busy it is. It has 40 and 50 and 150 sometimes mile backups on it during the summer, because everybody in Europe wants to go to the Mediterranean, and of course they have to come through France in most instances to get there. So this autoroute of the south of France collects tolls. It's a private organization. The same is true with the Eurotunnel. What they got... This one is really, really beautiful for these crooks. They just know what they're doing, guys. And they had public money in Britain and in France build this tunnel. They invested in it. They used the investment to put in high-speed rail service between the European continent and Britain. They sold shares to people, and then they didn't put freight on board the system, and people who invested in this thing were decimated by mismanagement, by poorly organized freighting systems, by delays in connections, by terrible, and what it would seem like at the time, happenstance. This business was a failure. It even went to get a infusion of cash a few times. The price went so low on this company that people began to dump their holdings in Eurotunnel, the private concern that was managing and owning the transport system. And it just got bought up at pennies on the investment euro over the last 10 years. They bought it up. And now it's, lo and behold, starting to carry a lot of freight, getting all the deliveries in, getting higher charges on everything, and presto chango, they're making money on it now, and it is the new darling of certain quarters on the stock market, and of course they're making money hand over fist, and these same guys bought it at pennies on the dollar. Same thing happened with the company Alstom, which there are investigations about. The price of Alstom went way down almost to zero, for goodness sakes. And then when it was bought up, lock, stock, and barrel by the bad guys, then the surprisingly all these contracts came in, and all of these tax reductions kicked in and all these deals came in, and the stock price now is over 100 euros. So they made 100 times on their money. You have to see this stuff to believe it and know the history of it to really understand it. But now we're at a point where they don't want to be involved in the money system at present. They want out of money and into holdings. They want out of this inflating system, this hyperinflation currency, and they want to hold the means of production or the services that the public needs to pay for, and whether that be the oil refineries or the road systems or the water or whatever, and charge you an increasingly higher price for all of these services while they are inflating this money. When the money system finally comes under full pressure and there is we're in the recession stage now, going into the depression stage. When the depression hits, there will be a contraction happening in business activity, which will begin to put downward pressure on certain activities because of supply and demand. And you'll start finding private people starting to sell assets that will end up into the marketplace, depressing other prices. I'll give you an example of that. Well, where, let's say I'm a guy who did well in the 90s and I bought myself a truck and a car, and my wife had her car, and then I've got my hobby vehicle in the garage and a jet ski and maybe a little small sailboat and all the rest of it that I've been putting on credit. And now all of a sudden the cascading effect of a bad economy caused by these criminals is causing me to pull in my belt, or even in some instances having to liquidate. I go out and sell two out of the three vehicles that we don't use every day, and instead of having a four vehicle family, we have a one, and I put those three other vehicles on the market. Well, of course, nobody has any money either to buy them with, so they keep lowering the price. So you'll get an 8,000 euro car now selling for three or four, which in turn puts downward pressure on new car prices, which has been happening here. You can go out and buy a brand new Ford, for example, at today's price, brand new off the showroom floor, for cheaper than you could have bought a used one 2 years ago, 1 year ago. So the point is that the prices, even with all the inflation going on, are actually lower now than they were 3 years ago. You're seeing that with dry goods as well, and white goods meaning washers and dryers and television sets and the rest of it. There's no marketplace for these items because people don't have any money, and there's also downward pressure being placed by people reselling things that they can't pay for any longer. So we've got a double whammy happening here. We have a deflationary event happening in certain goods, and we have an inflationary event happening in certain goods, and many of those inflationary events, ladies and gentlemen, are intentional. They just happen to be on our staples to put pressure on the public, to cause this cascading bad economy to really get traction. Food is going through the roof. We have had a just-in-time mentality with our food deliveries over the last 10 or 15 years, applying what people called good business practices to the idea of food. At the same time, we stopped hoarding and holding food as a strategic asset in many countries. The Japanese are still doing it, but the Americans stopped hoarding cheeses and grains and everything, and they emptied their silos. And they brought down their reserve down to what it was at the end was weeks worth of reserve, meaning that any disruption in the supply chain would immediately cause price rises. With the oil, on the other hand, they have plenty of oil in the world. There's plenty of fields that haven't been tapped yet. There's plenty of oil and natural gas that hasn't been brought out of the ground and all over Russia. Russia is loaded. Even up in Alaska, massive sums. Even in the Gulf of Mexico, if they stop pumping for a couple of years, it refills and they can suck it back out. And plenty of oil. How they've controlled the available amounts of oil is just by not refining it. They haven't built new refineries. Many people have blamed that new refinery shortage on not in my backyard or NIMBY, not in my backyard mentality. That's not true. They've had opportunities to put in these systems in so many places and have decided not to. Why? Because that is the place, the bottleneck they can create to cause price rises and then in turn get massive amounts of profits, which you are seeing right now in all of the oil majors and even in the small exploration companies, huge amounts of cash. So each one of these things we discuss here is a fraud. It was an intentional fraud to suck the life out of the public, and it's being done across the board. We have rampant greed, ladies and gentlemen, and then with people on the margins in the upper middle class to lower rich class that are not in the controller seat, having to start to vie for their daily cash here. They need large sums of money. These people, they're maybe have $2 or $3 million of assets, and they want to continue their debt servicing of their lifestyle and whatnot. Are starting to put hard pressures on the people below them, and these pressures work their way down. So this is just a fundamental overview of how this is affecting everyone. And of course, for me personally over here, I've seen fuel prices rise through the roof like you have. And as you have seen, there are different ways of dealing with it. One of them is to reduce your use of it and start to really think about how to consolidate your visits to the store, or use of the car, or the heating system being turned down lower, or even if it's to go out and buy a few rolls of insulation and doubling the insulation in your roof or whatever. All of these things are being done by my family, and I hope yours. At the same time, because cash is in short supply for me, as it is for you, we're learning to live off of our own resources, such as a garden. We have a couple of small fruit trees. They don't produce well because they're very old and in bad condition, but we're still using what we do get from it. You know, the last year we had a harvest of very ugly-looking apples, and they were a little sour, but they were still edible, and they were bio-apples. They hadn't been sprayed by any pesticide or anything, but they looked kind of ugly. So what we did is we took them all in the house, big, small, little, all sizes, washed them very well, and cleaned them up and peeled them and made apple sauces and fillings for pies and cakes, and we squeezed out some apple juice and added a little honey to it. And lo and behold, we used up some apples on our property and saved ourselves some money. And it was enjoyable to do it. I remember doing this with my wife last year, and it's lots of fun. So we have seen our food bill stay the same from last year, is what the result is. We haven't seen a savings because of the price inflation that's happening at the grocery store, but our bills this year are the same as last year. So we've actually seen probably a 12 or 14% savings coming out of our own efforts. And I think that's just the beginning. We're going to try to even improve on that. During this past year, we've made contact with people where we can get from the farm eggs and from the farm milk and from the farm meat, even from a local producer who is allowed to slaughter a certain number of their own animals and then sell it. And we save 20 to 25% on that by going down there and on our way by picking that up. So these are just some of the ideas that we've come up with to save a few dollars and stay even with this inflationary monster that has been intentionally thrown on us all. But it requires you to be able to examine area resources that you have, and you could be in a city and have a different set of resources, or you could be out in the countryside in America or in Sweden or in Germany or wherever you're listening to this broadcast from. And you have to be able to see what's around you and how to best use it to save a couple of dollars or euros or pounds, if that's the case. But give it thought, because there are savings in there. I just got done telling you I've got 10 or 15% of real savings having gone into my life by doing what I'm doing, and I'm hoping to do that same 10 or 15% again. And the interesting thing about this, and I said this in the last broadcast, the most interesting thing about this is that we have had a better quality than we would have had we been buying it from what we call here in France, Le Grand Surface, the big grocery store. There were no pesticides on my applesauce this year, and there were no, my apple juice, delicious apple juice, after we add a little sweetening to it, it was tasty. And our garden from last year, carrots and turnips and even, black radishes, different kinds of things. We did have a blight that cut into our production seriously. And what we tried to do with that is get a little plastic covering greenhouse that's maybe going to hopefully limit that problem for us. But we think we can bring our prices down another 15 or 20%, and that will be like a 30% decrease in our food costs in 2 years. These are ways of dealing with things, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you know, we're not talking right now about how we're going to deal with the geopolitical problems, but frankly, if you don't take care of the support of your environment, you and yourself and your family, you're not eating and stuff, you're not going to have the energy nor the time later to do any fighting for our freedom. You know, you'll be a victim. You'll end up falling victim to circumstances around you. So these are the primary moves you have to make by shoring up yourselves and your families. And so anyway, another one here. Let's talk about this judicial biz thing going on here. Judicialinc.biz. I don't link to them. I haven't linked to them for a long time. I do read some of the things they put out. I have in the past linked to them. But I discovered at a point in the past that they would Photoshop photographs off the internet or wherever they got them from and add into these photographs things that weren't there previously. In other words, I did a couple of investigations, some due diligence, especially after the first time I found something wrong. I did due diligence on several others. And I found that people had been chopped or cropped out of pictures to make a certain point, or they had also been added in there, and things were just not the way the other photograph, the original photograph, was displaying it. One of them, they made a statement about, here again, they're giving all their Jewish friends benefits, and there were only Jews in the picture. Well, the original picture had Jews and Gentiles mixed up, and they chopped out and cropped out all of the Gentiles and made it look like it was a holy Jewish event. That bothered me. And then the fact that I couldn't contact anybody about it and get an explanation that was suitable to me also bothered me. And then I started reading some of their stories, and there was never a good sighting or ability to do any research into some of the things they were claiming. Now, some of the things they claimed I knew were true because I've done some research on it aside from theirs. But there was enough of a gap in the quality of their research that I decided I didn't have the time to be becoming the guarantor of their information. So I stopped using them. Now, some people have said that Eric Hufschmidt was involved in it. I don't know that to be true or not true. Factually, he never told me that he did that, and never told me he didn't. I didn't even ask him. But it's been alleged. It may be true. I don't know. It would be in keeping with his approach to this stuff, if it were him. And with hindsight, I can say that pretty solidly, that this guy always came from the hip on everything he did. Whether it be sliming me or destroying someone else's reputation, shot from the hip, and always did a very convincing job of shooting from the hip. And it's not until you step back that you really see the depth of it all. But what's the motivation there? Who knows? Enough said about that. What else is going on in the world here? Well, of course, this Iranian thing, whether or not they're going to be able to get this thing off the ground in their own time frame or not. The fact that Scott Ritter, our resident American resident pedophile dirtbag from up in New York, the man that was running from his ONSCOM job directly to Israel after every visit to Baghdad before he even came back to the ONSCOM headquarters, is saying that it's a lock, it's a guarantee we're going to do Iran. But he's been saying that for a year and a half, and I'm sure it is just he's out there to soften the opposition. He's out there as the lead guy to hack away all the resistance to this next phase that they have planned. Because regardless of America's implosion, ladies and gentlemen, these people, these criminals, and that some people call neocons, but they're Zionist Jews, have in mind for the world. Maybe they're just going to go ahead and carry it out if they're able, And all it takes is one of the crook commanders they put in charge and some, you know, aviation criminals, some Air Force pilots with some weaponry to carry out some of this stuff. They don't need the whole military behind them. They don't need all of the Army and Navy and the rest behind them. And then they need the media, which they already own, to spin the story. And that they will do if they're able. Of that, I'm sure. So when we talk about how and when and where, it seems to me because of the financial mess that's really developing, it needs for them to be sooner rather than later, because every day that passes, more people are discovering information like the French Connection or information about criminal Zionism and its tentacles into the world's countries and how long it's gone on. Every day it's getting larger. More people are reading this story. More people are becoming angry. And I think it's becoming even accelerated as a result of these financial debacles being thrown onto the public's back. You know, this is, you know, being foreclosed on your house and having to scrape by to pay for gas and food for the month when you have children and stuff. You want to blame somebody. First of all, they should blame themselves for allowing their country to be stolen, because there was enough signs about how this was happening. There always have been, but and they've known, the American public has known, that Iran and Iraq have done nothing to us, nothing to the country, and they have not en masse gone out into the streets. So a lot of the things they get as a result of that, as a nation, are deserved. The problems are deserved in many ways. And I say that as an American, and I'm saddened by the fact that that the suffering is starting to really increase for my countrymen. But it's kind of like the alcoholic who drinks himself into a tizzy and then falls down a flight of stairs and hits his head and says, it's the stairs' fault, or it's, you know, it's somebody else. It's not the fact that he did that. So, you know, if you want to get up and say it's my fault and say I did it to myself and start creating an environment where you can do something about it, this is what we need people to do. The fact that people make mistakes and make errors on their judgment politically or whatever they're supporting is not the debate today. The debate is, can we stand up and be counted among the people who are willing to fix it now? Forgive ourselves for our mistakes and say it's time to move ahead with solutions. Because unless we do the solution side of things, it's going to get far worse. And so it's going to get worse regardless of what we choose to do as a solution. But if we do nothing, we will fall into tyranny and it will be a blood fest of parasitic murder against the American public and parts of Europe. Now that's what's in our future. That's the kinds of events that I think are almost imminent here. Whether or not their own system is staying cohesive and strong enough to even pull off any of these things is another question that we all should ask. I think there's infighting. I think there's problems in their own ranks. I think they're having problems getting consensus built. That may not be true about the very top leaders, but it's certainly true about the just under that level and mid-level. You can see it, you know, and of course we can get into all kinds of debates on which countries are not involved and who's helping who, and is Putin a good guy, and is Ahmadinejad a good guy, and is the Venezuelan Chavez a good guy, and all this other crap. We can get into that and ad nauseum end up arguing whether or not they are or aren't. That, to me, that's just a waste of time, because I don't see us being able to gain any ground by coming up with solutions to those questions. I mean, look, Chavez is in the news all the time. They use him as a bad guy. He suits a purpose right now. Whether or not he's working for them or not is immaterial to the fact that his purpose is to have evil in their on their television screens every day to feed to the American public, not unlike the Mr. Bin Laden lie that has been going on for a long time. He's the reason why we need martial law, ladies and gentlemen. He's the reason why we have your grandmother felt up at the airport, or or other things, you know. Yeah, he's the reason why they'll say they even have this Guantanamo thing. The reason those poor people are in Guantanamo, ladies and gentlemen, is not because they committed a crime or even were suspected of committing crimes, but because they need to make believe there are bad guys out there, and the only way to do that is to say, see, we've already caught a bunch of them. But in every instance, when you look at the people who are being held there, they have no ties to anything. Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is an invention of the CIA and Mossad and MI6. So plain as the nose on your face or as the sun in the sky. So what else is going on and what else are we going to do about it? We've got a big run-up in gold coming here. Double bottom on the price. It hit the 860 point, which was a 37% Fibonacci retracement off of its highs. And it built a base. And there's been a run-up now from that 860 level up to the closing above 900. And you're going to see it run through to the old high of 1,034. It will stall there for a moment, pull back probably a day or two, and then boom, shoot back right through that point, and that will be an old price. The 1,034 will be a thing of the past in short order. I see that coming quickly. You're also going to see a return of strength to some of the sectors in mining that haven't been doing well. So my advice to people is if they can get their hands on silver coins or gold coins and keep them secure and locked up someplace where you know they can't get stolen and know that you have access to them, I would do that. I would do that now. I would do that even if I had credit card debt. I would have that money aside for emergencies for my family. Who cares about credit card debt if you're not going to be able to feed yourself and your family in the next upcoming months? What else is going on? Well, I was going to do some more information on chemtrails and all the rest of it. They're spraying the tar out of the skies over here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if that's for ruining the for weather control or it's for I don't know what they're doing it for. I need a lot more information on the composition of that and exactly the organizations that are doing it and what they're using it for. The fact that I see two airplanes flying side by side and one's spraying and one isn't is amazing to me. And then you can see, I grew up, ladies and gentlemen, and so did many of you, there were no checkerboards in the sky. They just weren't. Now, as I've said before, not all clouds in the sky being made by airplanes are chemtrails, but they're certainly, they are doing that up there. The other thing is are they able to use this HAARP thing to make events like the earthquake in China? People are claiming they did, or they can. I need more evidence on that as well. I need more proof. I know the technology exists to do some manipulating of weather and some manipulating of fault lines, but how much of it can they actually do? Did they create that tsunami in Indonesia? Did they steer the hurricane into Burma? These are claims that some people are making, and I won't make them because I can't see a direct cause and effect, although there is circumstantial evidence to make the claim. Yeah. Another one, I put up an interview, we'll go on to this because somebody wrote me a letter, an interview by these people, I don't even know their names, but and this is something else I'd like to look into, or you'd look into. This, what was the name of it again? I'll go to the site here. It's called Pentagon. They were on Sophia's radio show, and I put it up because I found the information to be rather startling. But it was pointed out to me that it may not be entirely factual. So maybe you could go back, some of you could go back and listen to that and maybe do a little research for me and tell me what you think. If that's the case, we'll certainly put a disclaimer on it, or we will remove it if it's not good information. No, I am not a 24/7 researcher here. I rely on help from my listeners, and I ask you to do some of the due diligence that I don't always do because I just can't. I just don't. You know, I mean, I sit here all day. I don't have access to the Library of Congress or 50 hours in a day. There are people out there probably who have LexisNexis, which would be a great help to us doing research, if it's possible. So, if you've got LexisNexis, some of these questions we ask could probably be cleared up rather quickly. What else can we talk about today? There is a move afoot out there to vilify all Jews. And I want to go on to the record immediately as saying that is an error. It is exactly what they would like us to do so that they can come in behind that all-Jew kind of lie. It's not all Jews. It's not all of anybody doing anything. It never is. And it's a nonsense to say that. And to approach this like that will just give these people the ability to play the anti-Semite card in a stronger way. They'll be able to come in and say, we have to shut these people down because they pose a physical threat to the Jewish community, and blah, 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 and then there you go, bingo, we're shut down, we're out of business. And they will seemingly have cause for it, to do it. Now, of course, it'll be unconstitutional to do it, but that doesn't seem to matter much these days. And clearly, ladies and gentlemen, not all Italians are in the mafia. Not all Irish people are alcoholics. Not all British people are ugly. Not all French people are snobs. And not all Jews are involved in the Zionist crime wave. And these stereotypes, all or nothing kinds of approaches to research in the first instance, or just life in general, are fraudulent on their face. And to do that is a fraud. The other one, again, we'll clarify, and I've done it 100 times, I'll do it again here, is this gay issue. Now, we know that they've used the gay issue to cause separations in society. They also use it to hold people in their grasp, to extort from them. And they also use it as a political wedge in campaigns and in people's lives and the rest of it. Now, my take on someone's sexuality is that's a private matter and should remain so. And people who bring their sexuality into a public place should be chastised, regardless of what their take is on sex. I mean, if it's up, down, green, white, brown, doesn't matter what you want to do with your sex life, keep it to yourself. The public area, it causes fights instantly. So what we've got here is they've intentionally brought it into the public arena and then used it as a wedge issue and then used it to separate people into camps and then put those camps against each other to fight. And personally, I don't care what people do in their private lives as long as they're not doing it to children. But when you bring it into the public arena and you start using it as a wedge to break people apart and to cause problems in society, then it certainly is something I need to discuss and talk about, and I think everybody should. Aside from finding, you know, male homosexuality a disease-laden idea, and it is, you know, anytime you come in contact with human excrement, you're running the risk of serious diseases, and that is the case with that kind of activity. It doesn't, in my mind, really cause all the problems that everybody's talking about. So as disgusting as I think the whole idea is, it is not the cause of the problems. The problems is using that community and others in it and around it to break apart our cohesiveness against the criminals. Think about it. Just a way to take a look at these things. I think, you know, staying centered and rational about all this stuff is the best way forward. Anytime you start radicalizing your views, you're giving yourself over to their control. Makes sense to me. And, you know, I certainly don't have a monopoly on good sense. But I do have experience, and I do have what we call in French sagesse, or wisdom, about certain issues. And I've always been a defender of the weak in my life. Even back in grade school, I mean, I wouldn't let other bullies beat up on some of the weaker kids because it was something that I found an affront to me if they did it. And by and large, there wasn't a lot of that going on. I know there are in some places, but that wasn't a big problem. But I don't like people subjugating and using other people in front of me. I always have stood up against it. But now, as an older man and looking at the way the world works, I know politically they are using that to divide us. And so if we can get the idea that that's the case into the minds of people coming to this truth, they won't get swept up in this Aryan Brotherhood nonsense or this Vanguard lie that's probably a Southern Poverty Law invention or what are some of these other crazy things that Morris Dees has been coming up with the ADL. And they won't go down the wrong path. They'll be on the right fight. They'll be able to join us in a rational way to go out and stop these people. It's kind of like the guy, the Ron Paul guy here, you know, wanting to this all-or-nothing gold thing here where he's gone in with the Mises Institute, which is primarily a Jewish organization. Of course, we know that all of the physical gold is also controlled by these same people through their mining interests as well as their bullion reserves. And to hand over our financial system back to the crooks that just ruined it on us, is not the right way forward, and yet I can't get anybody to really wrap their brain around that argument. Why? I don't know. It's a rational approach again. We look at things irrationally, and we discuss them in a rational way, and they're easy to understand, and yet we still can't do that. And then this guy comes out and does something positive by saying that the neocons are pro-Israel, but he won't say that they're Jewish and they're Zionists. He won't say it's the Zionist cause that's the problem. Still saying that 9/11 is done by bin Laden. I mean, I can't get wrap my brain around this guy. And then the people have the temerity to say, oh, well, he would ruin his base. Since when does telling the truth ruin anything? Shining light on lies is not a death knell for people. And especially if they do it measured and honestly. It might be a source for him to get killed. They might come and assassinate him. I mean, but as far as the thinking public turning away from him for it, I doubt it. You might have morons turning away from him, but the thinking public will be able to see the rational thought he's put into this and make the leap. And because he has such a penetration, he would be able to enlist millions more people. This is why I have thought from the beginning there was something wrong with the guy, aside from him being from Texas, which makes him already a suspect in my view. Any political movement out of Texas makes me have the heebies, and well should. Anyway, so little rant for you today. Again, my webmaster, Krister, is having his own full plate to deal with up in Sweden. And again, we do appreciate your help financially here to keep us going. We have a book repository to keep going, phone bills to pay, bandwidth to keep going. And I've even had somebody recommend that I not even get back on that bandwidth system there and just let it drop. And sadly, it would be money that I spent already, but we'll have to see what we're going to do with that. We do have to look at the resources to do it with and see what kind of numbers we're actually competing for, if we're going to get anybody to listen or not. But those are all decisions that I have to make based on our financial abilities here. And you know, interesting, the people that do help with the book repository and the French Connection are always about the same, and it's always a small group. And they have helped, and they continue to help, and then the rest of the people do almost nothing. And that's why it sounds like I'm always asking, and the people that give think, well, what the heck is going on here? You just ask. Well, you'd be surprised how few in number you guys are, which is frightening to me, because my visitor numbers say that I'm still in the many thousands, and yet the help isn't there. But that's just the way it is. I deal with it. But I do want to mention to it, I want all of that kind of stuff to be above board as well. I want everything to be transparent that I do, in hopes that you people have a confidence in the efforts that I make. And this is one of the ways of doing that. So, get your gardens in. The time to do that is now. Get your lives organized. Pay off debts to as many places as you can. If you're so debt-laden that you can't ever hope to pay off, stop paying and use that money that you may have in your hands to buy some gold and silver, and then start looking for alternative living arrangements for you and your family, whether that be back with your folks or with a relative or, scaling down the size of your living arrangements. Find alternate transportation. Start carpooling. Look for other people going to places. Ask your neighbor if you're friends with them if you want to do shopping together on a Saturday rather than going separate. These kinds of approaches where you if you went four times a month to the shop, to the grocery store with your neighbor, you do two, they do two, you've saved 50% of that voyage. And if you start thinking about this, you're actually forging friendships that are deeper as well. Not just a trip to the grocery store, but a trip to the grocery store with somebody that you can become closer friends with. So there's a double benefit. That's one of the interesting things I found about all of this stuff, is that the more things I do to save money actually are helping me in ways I didn't expect. Like my apples turning into apple juice and then not getting pesticides at the same time. And enjoying the day we made it all. It was a fun day to do that. So, again, take care of your family. Start looking at these things rationally, quickly. The time is now. You can't be waiting for any of this stuff. Remember to keep us in mind when you're thinking about helping out for this fight. And take care of yourselves and be well. Until the next time. This is Daryl Bradford Smith saying bye-bye now.